Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He speaks to us in the heart. God, that He does. I'm glad that He loves us and He watches over us to help us. And everywhere I go, I'm reminded that God is with me. The Lord is with us, that if we love Him and we follow Him and we obey Him, He's with us. And He knows what to do. He knows what's important. And He knows how to deliver the righteous out of the hands of the wicked. And He knows how to help the righteous overcome all the schemes, plots, plans, and devices of the enemy. We are not outclassed. We have God with us as a present help. But the devil don't. He's an enemy against God. And the only people that's caught in the middle, so to speak, are those who have not chosen Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the Lord has a living plan for all of them. If every soul, after God's plan is done, the people that did not choose salvation didn't want salvation. They believe the lies of the enemy, serpent lies. They believe serpent lies over Jesus' word. And what gives us the strength we need beside the blood of Christ, once we're saved and washed in the blood of Christ, it's the words that Jesus spoke that gives us life. And when people see the light, they see the glory, either they're going to receive it or they're going to hate it. One or the other. When Stephen gave his testimony, when he spoke the word, he gave a synopsis of the Old Testament and pointed to Christ. And it was so strong that his accusers covered their ears and ran to him and stoned him. They didn't want to hear. Pharisee Saul was standing there holding the man's coat that was stoning Stephen. Now he had enough sense not to stone the man, but he was with them holding their coats while they stoned him. But he heard the words, and the words pricked Saul's heart. But it didn't convince his mind. He was kicking against it. He couldn't forget it. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus knocked him down. When he walked into the glory of God, he was on the ground. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He answered his own question. He said, "And Jesus, I'm Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? Why do you kick against the pricks?" He's working. See, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And he was trying to persecute it in ignorance. And God gave him deliverance and forgiveness. And he became an outstanding apostle. And he was so hated. This may not be the only reason, but he was so hated, the Lord changed his name from Saul to Paul. The church didn't trust him, and the Pharisees, they wanted, and the Sadducees wanted to kill him because he was once one of them. And the Sadducees hated him because he believed on Jesus, and the Pharisees, they hated Jesus. And then he turned from their way and started preaching Jesus. So Paul, he had a hard time. He had to leave. He got his sight restored. You know the story. But he heard the words of life coming from Stephen. As the people of God walk in the glory of God, they're walking in greater light. They're receiving. We handle holy things. We're learning how to live, how to cast down imaginations, how to drive out the darkness, how to cast our cares and concerns to God and live in His strength and not ours. So as those all who have ears to hear, they're going to display God. They're going to display God and walk in His light. His light is His love. And the people in the world will see a greater glory. Remember, the prophecy that some people feel like is too overwhelming, but it said the whole world is full of His glory. And we're going to represent that glory. We're going to represent the light of God's word. We're going to love each other with the God kind of love. Husbands are going to love their wives. Wives are going to love their husbands. Children are going to love their parents. And godly parents will love their children. They're going to see this. It's going to unfold. We will change families that change the way. We're doing it. And those who hear these broadcasts, if you listen to these broadcasts, you're motivated and you love God. God sent you to these broadcasts, and he prepared them for those who want to know Him. And it's a tool. You know, sometimes once you know what won't work, it's easy to do what will. And God is raising up people all around the planet to represent Him. And I thank God that I'm a part of it. And I'm just a messenger. I minister what God gives. And I love it. Not a day goes by that I don't love what I do. I enjoy. I get out of bed with enthusiasm to do these broadcasts. I used to wonder, you know, traditional churches, they preach once or twice a week. I said, what would happen to a man's anointing if he continued to minister and grow in the Lord? And when you're ministering to people that's hungry, it pulls more out of you. I can feel it. I know God is using these broadcasts. Because when people are hungry, God will give you what to say. And it's timeless. You know, the Lord knows every soul that will hear these broadcasts. And He's talking to you. I'm just a vessel. And I thank God that He graced me with that. Whatever we do for God, it's a grace. Don't play it down. Just be obedient. Be obedient to what God is doing, and it works. Sometimes people think that, you know, I gotta say that I'm less than Paul or less than. That's not the point. We are standing on the shoulders of great men. That's true. I thank God for them. But they're going on to be with the Lord. You understand, anybody that will take time to study the word, they can read about Paul's life in a few hours. And they can apply the same principles. You know, I used to have the New Testament on an MP3 player. And I could start at Matthew and listen to the whole thing. Let's see if I'm right. It would take about a couple of days. You can listen to, you know, sometimes I used to start at 1 Peter and read all the way and listen all the way to Revelation. That don't take long. A couple of hours you can do that. And that's a lot of information. And then whatever the Holy Spirit helped me learn, it puts me forward. It puts us forward. Anytime we choose to learn and grow and with the intent to do God's word, we're learning God's word with the intent to do it because we love God and His people. We are growing. Every time you study the word, you grow. You just made a choice to grow. You may not realize it, but you are. And anytime you ask the Lord questions and by the Holy Spirit, He gives you knowledge, wisdom, counsel, might, power. Anything that He gives you, it's assisting you in life and you're growing. And I don't believe in flattery, first of all. Flattery is deceit. I never looked it up. I heard Derek Prince talking about flattery. when I looked it up, it's false. It's like a false humility, or not. I mean, it's false praise, basically. It's a lie. You're trying to flatter people. You're lying to them, saying that you like them or saying that they're good and saying what they want to hear, but it's deceitful. I don't believe in flattery at all. And I also don't believe in false humility because the Lord my God and King taught me what real humility is. And this is how he described it to me. In the military, you have privates. They come in, they're the lowest in rank. They may be young, they may be strong, they may have even went to the ROTC and they know a little something. Then you got sergeants. They know how to fight, they know how to win a war. They know battle. They know the rules of battle. They know the wisdom of the battlefield. And the best sergeants have actually been in battle. And they train the privates. And sometimes the sergeant, you know, he may not be as strong as the young privates. But when he tells them to do something, they stand at attention. And they do what they're told. They don't rebut their sergeant. They humble themselves under their authority. Now that's real humility. The God kind of humility does what God says. It doesn't flatter. It doesn't act submissive. It doesn't put on a show of humility and will worship, like it talks about in Colossians chapter 2. It doesn't do that. Real humility obeys God. You know, Jesus even gave a parable asking the Pharisees. A father told his two sons to go in the field. One said he'd go and work. And the other said he wouldn't go, but he did go and work. Then he said, which one obeyed the father? They said the one that did go and work. And then he exposed to them what they were doing, you know, what their hypocrisy. So when you love God, you will do what he say do. Not just say how wonderful he is and you know, I'm nothing. I hear so many people say I'm not saying that I'm equal to Paul. That's not important. If the truth be known, everybody who do God's word and they pay attention to the Lord, they're humble to God, they're gonna outgrow Paul. They're gonna be able to do greater works. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. So Paul did what he was supposed to do. Peter did what he was supposed to do. Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves. And I thank God for all these men. But now we can read what Peter went. See, Peter was doing Peter's job. He read Paul's writings, but he was doing what God called him to do. Paul was doing what God called him to do. James was doing what God called him to do. Thomas was doing what God called him to do. Now, we have access to these writings of these wonderful people, these wonderful men of God. They set the pace. They showed us enough to go on. If we take the word seriously and obey it, we're going to learn too, just like they did. If you really are humble to God and you really put him first and do what he said do. It don't get any simpler than that. And go as far as you can go. I hope everybody hearing me do much greater works than Jesus, than Paul, than Peter. If you do what God is telling you to do, you will. You see, you know, I've been going to church all my life. And God called me to do this ministry. And I was a very young man. I was, what, 25 when the Lord called me to the ministry. 24 or 25. It was 1987. I was born in 63. June of 63. And he called me spring of 87 to the ministry. And I accepted. And I do it. And now I want to do it. When I saw that God would give me a message, I was in. That's when I first became interested. I didn't grow up desiring to be a preacher, but I did want to do something for the kingdom of God. I wanted to contribute to the kingdom of God. My first thoughts was start a thriving business and support the church. Well, God had greater plans than that. And I thank God for that. And a business was in the deal, because my business is a very important part to the ministry. And I know why. I had to deal with tradition. People were so traditionalized in the way that, and God gave me something so different that my message was not popular among the modern church. And I knew that I was going to have to work and support it myself. And I knew that I wouldn't get help from churches. And guess what? I did not. The only help I got was when people bring their cars to fix, and I thank God for that. But churches don't help this ministry. Only people, one lady out of, since I've been on the radio, one lady has faithfully sent money. And another lady, she called, and the Lord blessed me to give her counsel, and she sent me a $50 blessing. And that was it. The rest of it was the lady that sends money continually to the radio broadcast. And she sends it when I need it. One lady. I've been on the radio since 2006. It's right now it's 2021. So I had to work to do the broadcast. And if you listen to the earlier broadcast on Heart to Heart, you'd hear me driving to work every day. I can do better broadcasts now. But there's a lot of good information if you can deal with my road noise, you know, when I'm driving my truck or my car. And, or the van, the van was the loudest. But nevertheless, you could hear me shifting gears all the way to Bessemer every day. And I thank God for what I could do, you know. But I decided I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let anything stop me. And I'm not going to, you know, once I got on the radio, I said, I'm not going to start the radio and then have to quit because and owe the radio station large amounts of money because nobody will help me. When the pastors didn't receive the word that God sent me to give them, when they didn't receive it, I knew the people wasn't going to receive it either. The Lord taught me that. I knew it. But I believe God for what I needed. Now I see why he took me the way he did. He raised me up to have my own business because he know his people. And he's right. If you follow God, you'll be right. You'll be on point. And you know, and not only did I learn that I'm not going to get help from his people, which it don't bother me. It's fine. I understand it. I love his people. That I'm not on a soapbox. I'm not angry. And I fully understand it. When I saw how the pastors responded to what God gave, I knew the people were not going to respond either. God had to raise up a new audience. And he did. And people don't, you know, the glory of God, people love to talk about, you know, living in the next glory, but if you're blinded with tradition and mindsets, you can't do it. You'll be just like the Pharisees trying to stone Stephen. But if you embrace the word, you become like Apostle Paul. And so when people come out of the world, they don't know what to do. They look at the people and they begin, you know, they let the church set the pace of how they worship God. If the church is if they quietly worship God, the people will learn to quietly worship God. But when they see people energetic and drawing near to the Lord, then they'll do it. And the reason I got to a point that I would obey God is because of worship. See, my mind was full of traditional ideas as well, just like anybody else's. But as I went into God's presence in worship, and that was part of my routine. I didn't just do this every now and then. I did this as a routine. You know, I started going, I would worship God at church. I would go to church early. I had keys to the church. I'd go into church and pray. Or go home and just quietly pray in my room. And then I'd ask the Lord questions. And I started sensing things from the Lord. Greater needs, greater problems. He helped me with my problems. And I started to see things when I would be in his presence. And one day he told me when I was worshiping him, he said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. And then he trained me to understand these things. And he helped me to see what others overlook. So then he gave me the assignment to bring things to the attention of his people. And very few people, if any, listen. But most people didn't. And I would try to talk to Christians I knew. They didn't, you know, because the pastors didn't believe. They didn't either. They just kind of discounted it. But the Lord never stopped teaching me. In 1998, I got discouraged. And I stopped studying the Word like I normally would. I said, I'm learning things and it's not doing no good. It's not. Nobody's listening. Why should I keep learning all these things? I just enjoy God. And that was a false step to back off. And I thank God for Dr. May. And he said, you got to study the Word. For 4 weeks in a row, you got to study the Word. So I started studying the Word. And the Lord never stopped teaching me about following God. Even though pastors didn't follow God, they followed God to their specifications. They didn't follow God to God's specifications. And that's why they couldn't do the visions that God was going to give them to do. And I used to feel sad because I saw what God was going to do in the lives of these men. Most of the time, he gave me a word picture of what he would do, but sometimes a vision. And I would tell him, and I would be longing for them to obey God because I knew what would happen. But God never stopped. He never stopped training me. And then the silent years, he didn't use me to deliver those words anymore, but he continued to teach me. Not only that, in 2006, he came to me saying, don't teach foolish pastors. And I said, foolish and pastors shouldn't be in the same sentence, you know. And I'm thinking on this. Then my pastor had the same kind of, he said, he had a vision of Jesus coming to a synagogue. And they were not hearing the word. He said, anybody that want to learn, come out here in the parking lot. And I knew that was a confirmation of what, you know, God said, don't teach foolish pastors. So I said, well, the Lord keep teaching me, and God don't waste nothing. He always uses what he does. So these broadcasts is where the things that I've been learning for the last 30 years is here. And it's not something I could have imagined. So when you study these broadcasts, this is God talking to you. He just happened to be using me. He's got to use somebody, and he trained me to do what I'm doing, and he's using me to do what I'm doing. And you know, I thank God for everybody who listens to these broadcasts because it's a work of God. It's something that God put together. I could not have come up with this. Even the name Living Letter Ministries. In 1999, the Lord gave me, he spoke Living Letter Ministries, And I knew what to do. I finally knew what to do with the writings that he gave. And I knew what to call them. Then the radio broadcast, he gave a greater audience. And then the website is an even, the hungriest people listen to these broadcasts. They want to know God. People get tired and weary of cold religion. Cold religion is worthless. It's not God's will. It's Laodicea. It's a form of godliness with no power. And if you really want to know God, you have to go in his presence. You have to study the word and do it and go in God's presence and learn from him. I don't know a better way to do it. God, James said, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Now, nobody has excuse for ignorance. Ignorance should have been a long gone thing of the past in this day and time with the knowledge that God has given us. But it's cultured. The ignorance is cultured by cold religion, a doctrines of devils. People, you know, when the enemy say that teach things full of doubt and unbelief, that's a doctrine of a devil. And then, you know, when people would preach things to get people out of the fire, then the enemy will come say that they're going to leave the church. You don't have to preach so hard. Seducing spirits. Tone it down. Preach smooth things. Preach things that people want to hear about. But guess what? The devil beating the dog out of them. Men of God are falling every day with pornography, you know. They, you know, I like what Steve Quayle said. The lust of the flesh, lust and temptation, that is nothing but the appetite of demons on humans. Did you know that lust is not from God? It's a consumption. It will consume you. It will turn into your God. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to satisfy lust that can't be satisfied till you're dead. It's a miserable way to live. It's just like fear. It's got torment. You'll feel like you can't live without sex. Or you can't live, just like people on drugs. They can't live, they spend all their energy. I watched a lot of people on crack because I live across the street from a crack house. When they get on crack, they like zombies. You know, the zombie apocalypse, that's what it's like. They spend all their energy trying to get crack. And the drug dealers spend all their energy trying to sell it without getting killed and without going to jail. Both of them are very miserable people. They have no peace. They wake up in the middle of the night looking out the window, watching, waiting, see who out there. You know, it's crazy. But the peace of God, remember, it's not our performance. It's you just love God, and God will give you what to do. It's always the relationship. It's always God's love. It's always drawing near to him, learning his ways. You have to remember that the life of God is not your performance. God is more than performance. And he loves you for you. He loves you for you, not for what you can do for him. I like what Romans 14:17 says. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you have that, you got everything you need. Because you can attain what you don't have. You can seek God. God taught me this, that every day he gives us golden opportunities to enjoy. You can always make the choice to worship God and go in his presence and learn something. You can make that choice every day. And for the impossible things like I faced, how am I going to get the word out? The Lord said, let not my people lack knowledge. And I went years without really preaching. in a pulpit. Every now and then I preach a sermon somewhere. But I'm a preacher, and I wanted to preach. I probably got more messages I didn't preach in those days than I did. Sometimes God would give me messages for churches, and I would tell the pastor, and then they ignored it. So I stopped asking. I don't ask pastors to preach. That's one thing I stopped doing a long time ago. I'll never do it again. Never. I don't ever intend to do it. God will have to tell me to do it. Otherwise, I'll never do it on my own. If they ask me to preach, I'll preach. And I'll preach what God give. But I don't really care anymore about that. I do what God say do. Because that's what's alive. And that's what works. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He gave me a way to do what I have to do. Without them, I used to feel like I need somebody to let me preach in that church. And the enemy would say, well, he'll try to get you to be offended. No, you don't need to be offended. People do, you know, if a person didn't want me to preach, I really don't want to preach. That's just the way it is. I don't want to go where I'm not welcome. And I never will. That's crazy. But if it's of God, yeah, I'll be glad to do it. If it's, you know, I love teaching people that want to know. But when people don't want to know, then what can you, you know, you're not welcome. If you're not welcome, you're just not welcome. But God got people that will welcome you. And that's where you go. Remember, God is doing a great work. And it's more than what we can see. Trust him. I'm out of time, but trust God.